I'd like to read from Daniel chapter 7. Those of you who attend the Thursday morning Bible study will be more than familiar with this passage. I'm doing a series on those occasions in Scripture, Old and New Testament, when God appears to people in his glory and his majesty. And we have one of those occasions here in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel was an Old Testament prophet writing at this stage in ancient Babylon, what we now called Iraq. He was a Jewish exile. But God spoke to him in that land of exile and gave him some wonderful visions of God, but also some rather scary visions of the future. So Daniel chapter 7 and verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the 1st horns were plucked out of the roots. And there, in this horn, were eyes, like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. I watched. Then, because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking, I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. And as for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Amen. Amen. So this is what you call a apocalyptic, speaking of events to come, things perhaps pertaining to the end of the world as we know it. God has determined that the world which we live will not be allowed to go on rotating forever. The kingdoms of men and the empires of humanity will not be tolerated to keep on going forever. There is going to be an end. He has determined it. The chapter begins with Daniel seeing effectively four monsters. They're all quite scary, but the fourth one in particular was more terrifying even than the three which preceded it. If you were to read commentaries explaining what these monsters mean, most would agree that the first one represents the Babylonian Empire, where Daniel was actually living at that time. The second represents the might of Persia, which conquered ancient Babylon. The third creature represented Greece and Alexander the Great, which went on to conquer Persia. And the fourth beast, ancient Rome. And then we're told in this fourth beast, which is dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong, it had 10 horns, but then another horn kind of works its way up. A horn, especially in the Old Testament, is often a picture of a ruler. This empire will have a new ruler come. He will have eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. Well, you can imagine a great deal of ink has been spent trying to identify the horn. And it might be that you're sitting there waiting for me to give you the definitive answer, with which you will, of course, argue with me on your way out. There are, of course, a great many candidates for it. Those Roman emperors, they claimed to be the Son of God. And if I were reading this in the first century, I'd say, I know who that is. It's Nero. A man who burns believers for his garden parties to illuminate the soiree while claiming to be the Son of God and killing those who worship the real Son of God. If I lived in the 1940s, I'd say it was a certain Austrian with a distinctive voice and moustache. If I were a 16th century reformer, I'd say quite clearly it's the Bishop of Rome who claims to be the great bridge to God and a substitute for Christ on earth. And all these, of course, could all be true. And yet, while Daniel is seeing this very disturbing image, especially of the fourth monster with its horrible little horn, he looks up. He looks up. Too many times we are found looking down. We're looking at the miserable affairs of this world, whereas we need to be looking for him who is coming again. In verse 9, and chapter 7 is quite interesting because Daniel looks down and looks up, looks down and looks up. There are affairs going on the earth, but there are also things happening in heaven. And Daniel here is given a glimpse of both. Verse 9, I watched till thrones were put in place and the Ancient of Days was seated. That is a title for God. Specifically, I think, God the Father. It's a peculiar title, the Ancient of Days. It does, of course, refer to his eternal nature. There was a time when I was conceived, and then a time when I was born, and there will be a time, I imagine, when I will die. You see, I am temporal. God may have anticipated me, and I'm going to go and live with him forever, not because I deserve to, but because he is gracious and his son paid for my sin. Whereas God existed before there was a universe. He is eternal. He cannot begin. He cannot end. Here is the Ancient of Days. It's curious that when Daniel is looking at what for him are future events, for us, most of them I think are literally ancient history. This empire comes and it falls, another empire comes and it falls, another empire comes and it falls. What a contrast with the God of heaven who is the Ancient of Days. Absolutely unmoved and unaffected by the coming or going of this empire or that. The Ancient of Days was seated. We have, as it were, something of a court or a courtroom. We have, of course, a description which we might read elsewhere in Scripture. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. I do think this is a vision of God given to Daniel that he might describe he who is indescribable. This colour of snow may well have been the whitest thing that Daniel could draw upon. There is a brilliance and a purity of God. Well, if he is pure and white in appearance, the throne is of a fiery flame. A large chair, I guess, which resembles fire, which resembles flame. Furthermore, we read, its wheels are a burning fire. I don't understand that. But it does, of course, remind me of that passage in Ezekiel chapter 1, where there are wheels around the throne of God. They may actually be angelic creatures. I do not know. One commentator amused me a little bit by saying, on that passage on the wheels, there are things a spinning in heaven which we cannot understand, but their purpose will be fulfilled. I can live with that. Furthermore, the great God in heaven is not alone. There are millions before him, ministering to him, serving him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. That is Daniel saying, I could not count the multitude in heaven. These four creatures represent four great human civilizations. And from a human point of view, they are great. The might and splendor of Babylon, of Persia, of Greece, of Rome, and yet compared to the divine reality of heaven, they are but dust. Furthermore, from this fiery flame, fiery throne, a fiery stream issued. The one who is enthroned in this scene is the source of all power and glory and majesty. There are lots of videos online which will tell you about our sun. It is a dull day. We are relatively used to dull days. And yet the light which streams in through these windows, it is sunlight. The sun is a ridiculous number of miles away from us. And yet its heat and its light continue to be felt. Now, if you look at other stars in the galaxy and the universe, our sun is absolutely tiny. But there is one here who is greater and brighter and hotter and more magnificent in every way than any star or any human ruler. What a wonderful scene of glory. The court was seated and the books were opened. Well, if you were to go to court, the judge or the magistrates would come, I guess if this were a courtroom, they'd be here. And they would stand up and you would stand up, and when they sat down, you would sit down. The business of the court is about to begin. The court is seated and the books were opened. We're not told what these books are meant to represent, nor what is written within them. Are they the decrees of God? Are they the records and the crimes of those creatures on the earth? Scripture speaks of our deeds being recorded. It also speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ who came, that those who believe in him might find their sins blotted out, their guilt taken away, their iniquity remembered no more. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is that though we have sinned, we can be whiter than snow in the eyes of God. Though we are guilty of this or that, a substitute came and hung upon a cross that he might bear the blame of what we have done wrong. The Christian need not fear the eternal court. The Christian need not fear the judgment still to come. I deserve to be cut off from God forever, but I won't be, because Christ was cut off on my behalf. I don't need to fear judgment and punishment. He was judged. He was punished in my place. And any who come to him believing can enjoy the wonderful privileges of grace. In verse 11, Daniel is then persuaded to look down again. He was looking down, he looked up, now he's looking down. I watched. Then, because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. This horn, which is a picture of an earthly ruler, I believe it is a final world ruler still to come, of which there have been plenty of precedents, including the ones I've mentioned. He's speaking pompous words. Now, having beheld the majesty and the glory of what goes on in the courtroom of heaven, how empty and hollow must these pompous words really have sounded to Daniel? A horn speaking important things about itself, claiming this, claiming that, claiming the other. He is as nothing compared to the Ancient of Days. Furthermore, we're told, I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. This evil world empire, which this little horn, this ruler, is pleased to control. We're told later on in the chapter, he makes war against the people of God. They're even given into his hand for a period of time. His days are numbered. There are, as I've said already, diverse views and interpretations of this passage. But I would say this is absolutely clear. All godless civilization, its days are numbered. And if this final world empire is still to appear, it will seem mighty and strong at its height. But the Ancient of Days, remember, is seated on the throne, and he has already pronounced judgment upon it. In verse 13, Daniel looks up again. Up and down, up and down. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all peoples, nations, and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Well, we have the Ancient of Days seated on the throne, and then we're introduced to a second individual, one like the Son of Man. 82 times in the New Testament is the Lord Jesus described as the Son of Man. You might think, oh no, he would call himself the Son of God. His preferred title, it would seem, is the Son of Man, perhaps thinking of this reference here. It does not just mean a son of Adam or a human being. What human being could be ushered into the presence of God to receive the whole world as his kingdom? Furthermore, we're told in Revelation that he is coming with the clouds. Here we have it in Daniel chapter 7. What we have here is Daniel beholding the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven before he came to earth and was born in the stable. Jesus Christ is more than a prophet, a good man, a teacher, a role model. He is this divine being of Daniel chapter 7. He is coming with the clouds of heaven, and I'm looking forward to that day when Jesus returns. And I hope and I think ours is the generation. I imagine for 200 years people have said that from this pulpit, and for 200 years they were proved wrong. But I'm still hoping and I'm still looking. And if ours is not that generation, then one by one, he will call us home to him. And if we are that generation, he will come for us. Here they usher one like the Son of Man before the throne of the Ancient of Days. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. If you're familiar with the book of Daniel, there's quite a lot of repetition. These four creatures are likened to four types of metal of a statue earlier in the book. But every time Daniel describes these weird and wonderful human empires, there's always another one coming. There is one like the Son of Man here. There is a rock cut from a mountain without human hands who is coming, who will cover the whole earth. And his empire, his kingdom, his rule shall never end. It will never be replaced, never superseded. We long for the coming of the King. I read earlier from Psalm 8. I don't want to push this point too strongly, but I think that when the Son of Man in this scene comes before the Ancient of Days, I beg your pardon, Psalm 2, the words there recorded are spoken. Beg your pardon, it's Psalm 1. I will get there in the end. It does help preachers to know their Bibles, it really does. Psalm 1 and verse 8. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron Who's the them? Those four empires. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. And then verses 10 to 11 are a warning to kings and emperors of the earth. You will be held to account. Your days are numbered. Your time in the sun will not last, for a greater king is coming. He will not abdicate. He will not be replaced. He will not die in battle. When Jesus Christ comes back, he will reign on the earth forever and ever. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Before I preached, I prayed for a number of things. Number one, that our knowledge would increase. That may or may not have happened. But I also prayed for the application. When you're preaching, it is good to convey information. But this is not a lecture hall. This is a place where we, as believers, ought to grow spiritually. And I pray week after week after week that when we come and we gather together, we encourage each other. We share worship with each other, but also we grow. Where is the application of Daniel chapter 7? It's fascinating. It's interesting. You might go and buy a commentary on Daniel and try to get to grips with it. Good. But what has this to do with me? Well, the first point of application, I would say, is this. Don't worry and be troubled about the events of this world. I've already been contacted by somebody who fears nuclear war. I'm old enough to remember the 1980s. And seeing little infomercials, what would you call them? Government information films on Saturday morning about what to do when the nuclear bomb drops. And you would close the curtains and turn off the electric fire, because of course that would save you. And when this person asked me, I thought, it's like old times. Daniel saw the future before it happened. Don't be troubled by the events of this world. These things must happen. This world is not going to be destroyed by a nuclear war. It won't be destroyed by climate change. It will be destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes in judgment, and then he will remake it. So don't be troubled by the news. Number two, like Daniel, look down less and look up more. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. And where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Unlike Daniel, we cannot just look up and behold the majesty of the eternal throne room. But then we don't need to. Daniel went to the trouble of writing down his vision, that we can turn to Daniel 7 anytime we want and just be reminded that when it looks like there is chaos here below, there is absolute order and control in heaven. The Ancient of Days is not troubled by that fourth monster. Nor is he vexed by the pompous words. He holds them in derision. The third point of application I would make is, behold through the eyes of faith. the beauty of your God. Behold the beauty of your God. His garment was white as snow. The hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. What a contrast with that gross monster. One day, we are going to join the thousands before that throne, the 10,000 times 10,000 who stood before him. Not because we're good looking, not because we sing well, not because we're good, but because he graciously says, whosoever will may come. Do you want to go to heaven when you die? Do you want to know that those bad things you've done can be forgiven? Well, you can. You come to Jesus Christ. He is, of course, referred to in verse 13. One like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. This glorious being who is coming to judge. He also came to save and to rescue. Daniel sees him elsewhere in his prophecy, but in a very different light. He says Messiah will be cut off, but not for his own sin. Cut off is a Hebrew expression for killed. How could you kill him? He submits to death. He submits to execution. He offers no defense to the Sanhedrin nor the Roman governor, that he might die our death, that we might share his glory. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Be encouraged.